council meeting for Wednesday, the 24th of July. I'd like to declare the meeting open at 5:34, and in doing so, I respectfully acknowledge the Gadiyara people, whose land we're meeting on this afternoon, respectfully acknowledging the contribution of Gadiyara elders, past, present and future, in all working together for the betterment of the future city of Port Hedland. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam.
Okay, item two, recording of attendance and apologies. 2.1, attendance as listed with a change to 2.2, apologies, Councillor Arnold Carter. 2.3, approved leave of absence, Councillor David Hooper and Councillor Penny Taylor. Item 3, response to previous questions taken on notice. 3.1, questions from public at ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 26th of June. There are nil. 3.2, questions from elected members at the ordinary council meeting held on Wednesday the 26th of June. There are nil. Item 4, public time. Public, this is your time. Just an important note before we start, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with the minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for your recording of your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 20.3, the Town of Port Hedland local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal, electronic device or instrument to record proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. I have given permission for our manager of marketing to take a photo of one of our presenters during section 10 this evening. So let's start 4.1, public question time. I'll declare public question time open now at 5:35. Could I have a show of hands who has questions tonight? 1, 2, 3. Terrific. Okay, please come up to the dais. Please state your name nice and clear. You're right.
My name is Stephen Myers. I'm making progress to the council members. Read the concerns that have been raised about the parking for the Norwood Aviation staff at the airport.
This letter that is a two-page stapled document? Yep.
Yes, so, and I'm wondering what councillors you are on this now, where it has been going on for some time, considering reports about it, people have been, if you have been informed about it, if you know about it, and I'll now hear myself to find out where councillors stand for that one.
CEO?
Thank you. Through you, Madam Mayor. And the Director of Engineering Services may want to add some commentaries, but there has been some discussion with previous staff members at NWAS, and there was one letter written by a staff member and subsequently signed by a more senior person, which we then received an email apologising for that letter, given that it wasn't supposed to come under, I think, NWAS banner. But irrespective of that, I think our current position at administration level has been is that there is half-hour free parking. There is also parking for staff members, and I don't believe it's 400 metres away, but there is parking available. And from an administrative perspective, we believe that's the appropriate parking at this point in time. But I don't know if the Director of Engineering Services would like to add anything to that.
I can only add that if Northwest Aviation Services would like to come and speak to us about an arrangement to park closer than they currently have, then we could look at some commercial arrangements for that to take place.
And thank you. That's where we're at now. We thought we were down this path and go, and it hasn't. This hasn't progressed.
I suppose we need Northwest Aviation Services to write to us requesting that. So they need to write saying
yes,
we would like to investigate the opportunities for commercial parking arrangements that are outside the free parking area that's currently allocated. And then we can look at where that could be and how those arrangements work and whether they needed them all the time or they just wanted them the afternoon to the evening, you know, how it might work.
Which is how it is. And it's been brought up a number of times at the airport users meeting, so by Norwest Aviation themselves, that's why I'm here after the last meeting. So in that format, that's not suitable.
If they write to us, it'll be the easiest way to do that. Yep, write to the CEO and then it'll go through the right channel.
Thank you. Thanks for that. OK, Okay, any further public questions?
Number one is, how much have we paid consultancy figures over the past 12 months and the appropriate projects?
CEO?
Through you, Madam Mayor. We'll have to take that question on notice, Ms. Butson, but I guess this is to anyone in the gallery. If people want to provide us with those questions prior to the meetings, we can get those answers and provide them to you at the meeting. But certainly, given the number of projects the town has been involved in, it's an impossibility to give you a figure tonight and break that down into every individual project that the town's worked on in the last 12 months. So happy to take it on notice and provide that information to you.
Question number two. What strategic plan for the development of the terminal at the airport has been adopted, and what is the proposed timeline for completion?
CEO?
Again, through you, Madam Mayor, the airport had a master plan which was completed in 2011, I believe was the last review that was undertaken. With the employment of the Program Director of Airport Redevelopment, there is a quick review being undertaken of the whole master plan. And associated with that is a schedule of works, including the airport terminal. There are a number of components in the airport redevelopment, the terminal being one of those. Certainly there's been some work done on quick fixes, and I think that will be presented at the next airport committee meeting, which is next Wednesday, the 31st of July, in terms of the schedule of works, not necessarily down to the finest detail. Again, happy to provide you, although it becomes public information once it's at the airport committee, and then the recommendations from the airport committee will come to the August ordinary meeting of council for determination.
Question three, is it correct that a hot water system has been installed at Shack in the last 2 weeks, and what was the cost, and why was this not included in the recent upgrade, and where is the present situation regarding lights for the water polo use?
See ya.
Through you again, Madam Mayor, and I'm not aware of a hot water system. It may be referring to the actual water heating for the pool, and that that was actually installed as part of the update of South Headland Aquatic Centre. There have been some operational issues with that particular, with the heat pumps that were installed, and we're liaising with the lead contractor, CAA, to ensure that they're working efficiently. In terms of the second part of that question, sorry, was...
The lights? The situation regarding the lights
of the water polo use. Through the chair, there's an item going to council tonight to award the installation of the poles and the luminaires. And on the schedule in here, they would be completed early November.
Okay, referring back to the first part of the question, in the last 2 weeks, there has been a local company that has installed a hot water system to make the hot water available in the showers.
May well have been, but I'm unaware of that.
Okay, I'm not aware. So, Director, have you got anything?
Certainly not part of our capital works. Yeah. It may have been part of our program maintenance works, but it's not something that's been...
How about we take it on notice and find out what that was? Thanks.
Thank you.
Any further public questions?
I'm just having a look at the account figures here. I haven't written any questions up for it, but can you tell me if that the total amount there that's been presented tonight actually includes $40 million marina money? Because we've got town of Port Edmund reserve monies at $4,400,000. Does that include the reserves that are the town of Port Edmund reserve funds as well at $40 million?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I think if you look at the second last line under that handout, which is the $38.5 million, if you're referring to the balance of the $40 million small bank reserve.
Yes,
that's the $38.5 million is the balance of that account with $1.5 million being committed.
That's right, yes. That's been put there to show that money is in actually the National Australia or the ANZ. I'm asking whether the top 6 accounts include that $38 million.
No, because they're under a... 11 month at 4.1.5% term deposit.
Okay, so those top six accounts added up, whatever it comes to, then we can add $38,500,000 to the total amount of those five accounts on top. Is that right? And we would have our a gross amount.
Through the chair, you would need to add the 20 million, the 38.5 million, and the 3.4 million to those total balances at the top to get your total funds.
Okay. Right.
Any further questions?
Are you able to tell me exactly what the money is for the regional country fund, which is the WATC royalties for regions money? What is that money for exactly?
CEO?
Madam Mayor, I will have to defer that to the Director of Corporate Services.
So through the chair, the funds that are held in the WATC investment were part of the $20 million provided by Royalties for Regions that are required to be held into that account. At this point in time, the 3.4 would include outstanding, expenditure associated with Markey Park, the Multi-Purpose Rec Centre, if there is any left, and there shouldn't be the JB Hardy, and some other public safety initiatives. CCTV was one of them. That should be fully expended now at this point. But there was a range of about a dozen different projects within there, with the three major projects forming most of that 20 million.
Outstanding expenditure. That 3.4 million is included in the reconciliation of cash, which is cash on hand. So my next question will be, is that money in the process of being acquitted?
CEO?
I'll defer, if I can, Madam Mayor, to the Director.
So through the Chair, as part of our year-end financial statements, we obviously still have to go through a process of finalising those and raising accruals. And what you'll find is that the WATC money, in terms of the 3.4, will actually be withdrawn to recognise the fact that we have spent those funds on the projects that it was intended for, and they will be acquitted back to the Department accordingly.
Any further questions?
So my next question will be off the top of my head, we announced a 3.2 million deficit. So if that money has been expended and hasn't been acquitted, then we're looking at a deficit of over 70 million. Is that correct?
CEO?
No, that is not correct.
The money has been spent, but not acquitted. Is that correct?
The funds are sitting in the under the WA Treasury Corporation
right,
account.
Yes.
So the funds are allocated to the town of Port Hedland for specific projects. The projects, we need to spend the money on the projects. We need to provide an audit and an acquittal form to the department before the funds are released. So they'll be brought back out at the June 30 position in terms of us closing off our 12, 13 accounts.
Okay.
So they don't form part of any deficit and they don't add to any deficit.
For a little bit. So have we spent that money, the 3.4 million on projects from our municipal fund?
CEO?
In terms of clarification, I'll defer to the Director.
For the most part, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have spent those funds. Again, this is part of our year-end transaction processing, where obviously we expend the funds and then we do the transfers from other accounts thereafter. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the most part, yes.
Okay, so just to be clear, back to my original question, we've spent that money. We're in the process of acquitting that money. So we have that 3.4 million, whatever it is, as an asset in our reconciliation of cash, which means, if we've spent it, it shouldn't be there. It should be nilled out, which means our deficit is higher. Yes? Am I correct or am I wrong?
You're wrong. Again.
Okay.
Still. What I said before to a previous questioner, if you'd like to provide your questions to us before the meeting, we can give you comprehensive answers, so hopefully you won't have to ask the same question three times.
Okay.
Yes, Director?
It doesn't make any financial sense.
Just wait a moment, please, sir. Just for the Director.
I am more than happy to meet with Mr. Blanco if he would like to go through the local government financials at any point in time to explain how transactions work and how the financial processes work. If he'd like to take that opportunity, I'm more than available to do so.
Terrific. That's great. Any further questions?
Yes, I have. Why hasn't the financial audit on the Tourist Bureau Visitor Centre been presented in tonight's agenda as per meeting statement in May 2013?
CEO?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it was anticipated to bring that report through to the July Ordinary Council meeting, as was that information given to the media. The company that's doing that final audit, Global 20, had requested additional information that had to come from a third party. By the time we got that information, they were not able to provide the final report to us in time to get it to this meeting. So it will now be going to the August Ordinary Council meeting. The Town of Port Hedland is not the holder of all the information in relation to the Port Hedland Visitor Centre. We needed to get additional information from a third party.
Have we received an audit in any form?
We received an interim report, Mr. Blanco, and we are now, I'm not sure if we've received it this week, we're intending or anticipating receiving it, if not this week, early next week for the final report.
What is the cost to date for all the audits associated with the visitor centre? What's the cost incurred on the town board
CEO?
My understanding, through you, Madam Mayor, that it was in excess of $60,000. That expenditure has been incurred via resolutions of council. In other words, council requested that to be done.
The town of Port Hedland has incurred significant costs from the audit. So, is the town intending to recoup these costs following the finding?
CEO.
Through you, Madam Mayor. Not sure whether we can recoup those costs. I guess first of all we'll wait to receive the report and see what actions or recommendations the report might provide to us. Certainly, as we understand, there are some funds left in the Port Hedland Visitor Centre accounts. There's again no automatic right for the Town of Port Hedland to receive those funds, but we would be seeking to have those funds potentially diverted by the Department of Consumer and Employment Protection, perhaps to offset some of the costs of running the visitor centre. The actual costs of conducting the audit reports that have been produced to date, and this latest one, I think will have to be met by the Town of Port Hedland through its municipal budget.
Thank you. And if you could just write those questions out, that would be appreciated and handed to governments. Thank you. Yeah, why not? Please state your name nice and clear again.
Brian Dutton. The statement I have first before I ask the questions is, on the 28th of the 11th of 2012, Council endorsed an absolute majority of the remuneration package for the Director of the Airport Redevelopment on page 247 of these minutes. My first question is, what criteria or milestones authorises or allows the payments of the performance incentives over $100,000?
CEO?
Through you, Madam Mayor, they have not been determined, so the package has been created, there's a contract being signed with the employee, and those KPIs have been worked up, but there are some primary results relating to the airport redevelopment program with specific targets to be set and met, and then it'll be a maximum of that amount. It is not an automatic gratuity or an automatic bonus to be paid.
So what was the monetary allowance established by the CEO in relation to the travel, housing and motor vehicle expense for the Director of the Airport Redevelopment?
CEO.
Through you, Madam Mayor. The travel allowance, so it's actually only the airfares as required to attend Port Hedland. The accommodation is actually only the accommodation required to be paid whilst that officer is in Port Hedland, and we are providing an office on a shared basis through the generous assistance of the Town of Bassendean between our Economic Development Coordinator and the Airport Program Director when that person is working in Perth.
Okay, so that's actually the office that we actually leased in Perth.
Correct.
Correct? Right.
The remuneration package for the director of the airport redevelopment being $349,820 base salary, and what is the anticipated cost of this position with the performance incentive, housing, car and travel allowances, as well as the rentals in the metropolitan are factored in?
CEO?
In terms of that specific figure, I'd need to take that on notice, but happy to do that and provide that answer.
Okay. And my last question is, how can we justify this expense to the ratepayers of the Pound Port Heaven when we are currently in a large deficit?
CEO?
Okay, so first thing is, in terms of the decision of council was to appoint a person with a specific skill set to assist the Town of Port Heaven in developing a full program of development on a commercial basis for the redevelopment of the Port Hedland International Airport, and through a recruitment process this person was considered the best person to take that task on a two-year contract, so it's not an ongoing position. In terms of the current position of council, the airport runs as a business unit separate to the balance of our funding. The airport does provide a return on investment to the Town of Port Hedland to the tune of $1.8 million, but the airport actually runs as its own business unit separate to the municipal funds. So there are no municipal funds going into the airport. In actual fact, the airport is making a return on investment to the municipal operations of the Town of Port Hedland.
Thank you.
Any further public questions? I have some that were submitted in writing from Mr. Darrell Brown. I'll just read through those. Question one, what is Council's position on the current safety of people living in the west end of Port Hedland? CEO or Director?
I can respond to that. Council officers are currently awaiting the findings of the health assessment pumping undertaken by the Department of Health, and we'll be in a better position to make a conclusive statement then.
Mm-hmm. Question two, why do council bylaws restrict balconies and prohibit the construction of four-bedroom homes along the West End oceanfront, yet permit a family home to run a daycare right opposite the iron ore stockpiles that create the said health risk?
The design parameters affecting the West End were derived by the Port Hedland Air and Noise Quality Management Plan. These design parameters have been implemented through the plans through Member 22. Just wanted to clarify a couple of points there. Balconies aren't prohibited, and secondly, dwelling houses do have existing non-conforming use rights.
Thank you. Question three. BHP have been exporting dusty product through Port Hedland since 1966. Government approvals now restrict dust emissions through world standard industrial environmental controls and practices. Does Council support the view of BHP that dust is a health issue? If not, can Council explain why the Council town planning policy reflects the view of BHP and adopted by the Health Department?
In relation to dust being a health issue, Council is still awaiting the health assessment being undertaken by the Department of Health. And secondly, in relation to the second point, the controls over the West End, as I've highlighted before, have been derived through the Port Hedland Air and Noise Quality Management Plan and the recommendations of the Dust Task Force.
Question four. If the dust is deemed a possible health risk, who would Council recommend concerned residents contact to see if they are at risk or have been affected by the dust?
Through the Chair, I'd suggest they contact the GP, in addition to the Department of Health and Department of Fire and Conservation.
Great. Question five, a government task force was appointed in October 2008 to determine if the dust in Port Hedland was dangerous or not. Will Council please ask the relevant authorities for confirmation by October 2013, 5 years after the task force was formed?
Frustratingly, as understood, the dust task force is still awaiting the results of the health risk assessment, and the date that we've been given at this point in time is the end of 2015 before those findings are made public.
Question six, if the dust is deemed dangerous to my wife, myself, my two children and six grandchildren, would Council be responsible for permitting the operation of a dangerous product in our town without insisting the port operate in safe guidelines?
The dust is emanating from the port and through the industry operations. The port operations are regulated by Port Hedland Port Authority and the relevant environmental authorities such as the EPA, Department of Health and DEC.
Question seven, whose job is it?
Sorry, just to add to that, the town of Port Hedland does not have the ability to control a state-owned operation or a state or activities on State Agreement Act land. And we should add that to that answer, I believe.
All right. Were we able to capture that in minutes? Terrific. Question seven, whose job is it to ensure that operators work within safety guidelines?
Through the chair, similar to the previous questions, the responsibility falls under the Port Hedland Port Authority and the relevant state agencies such as the EPA, DEC, and DSD.
Terrific. Thank you. Any further public questions? I declare public question time closed at 5:58. Thank you very much. Item 4.2, public statement time. I declare public statement time open at 5:59. Are there any public statements? If so, come to the podium, say your name nice and clear. Okay, thank you very... Oh, sorry.
I've got two quick ones to make. In relation to some plans that was handed out to yourselves today.
These ones?
For the meeting, yep. Some pretty pictures there. Just here representing the Youth Involvement Council, Vicky Curry, the manager of Youth Centre. Apologies, so last minute couldn't make it. I'd just like to give an update on some progress the Youth Involvement Council's been making about their Lawson Street Education Precinct. I think it's about 2 years ago now that Youth Involvement Council adopted a business plan for their future growth. And a big part of that project, of that business plan, not only involved creating some improved financial independence for the Youth Involvement Council, but also to broaden its education services that it provides to the community. And through some funding that's been secured to progress the business plan, the Youth Involvement Council has been driving a redevelopment proposal for the existing Lawson Street Education Precinct to broadly expand its services. And we're now at the stage where we are looking to formally come to council to seek planning approval. What you've got in front of you is a site plan and an initial 3D image of what we hope the project looks like, pending funding and the rest of it coming along. What we are just here to highlight to yourselves, firstly, that the application is coming in, and secondly, that we would like council to consider during that time a waiving of the application fees to the Youth Involvement Council. We're looking at a $23,000 application fee for the whole project. Council does have the ability to waive it. We think that money could be better spent on obviously assisting the community and providing the youth services that the Youth Involvement Council does provide. We also would see this as a great gesture of support from the town of Port Hedland and identify them on an ongoing basis as a supporter of this project through this, I suppose, financial alleviation they'll provide. There's nothing formal before council tonight, but we will be making an application and the application will be considered in the coming months by council. So we just wanted to put this in front of you, highlight that point and look forward to consideration of not only the development application but our request for a waiving of the fees in the coming months.
So just while we've got that, then, yeah. I believe you have been liaising with our staff or with our CEO and you did receive some advice, or if not, or we are looking that we'll consider that request formally in a report to the Ordinary Council meeting in August.
We'll be lodging with the application fees and requesting that to get the process started, because we understand there'd be a council resolution needed, and we'd like to get the development application process going. But in the meantime, when we make that application, we'll just be seeking that council request either a refunding of it or some.
So please submit that with that request for consideration when you do lodge those, and then council will be able to consider it fully in the sense that some of the fees are fees we may not be able to alter. So we'll look at what we can and certainly consider that in August.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So just here now,
in relation to a specific item. It's the proposed noxious industry on 12 Yanana Street.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's item
11.1.1.3. Yes.
Yep. So just thanks for the opportunity to present to you about this application. Just like to support the officer's recommendation. With a request that's with seeking council's variation to condition 2 of the approval, and that is preferably a deletion of the condition, which is a time-limited approval for 2 years, or as an alternative, an extension of that time-limited approval from 2 years to 5 years.
Okay.
Just as a light background for UPC, Ultimate Protective Coatings, they're a long-standing business here. They employ anywhere from 40 to 60 people in town, depending on fluctuations in work. But due to, I suppose, sometimes a bit of misunderstanding on all the various approvals that are needed, they've been operating for around 15 years now at the Buckley's property under all the environmental licences. But in recent months, and probably about a year now, it became apparent that a planning approval was never obtained for those operations. So. In conjunction with the planning department and through those discussions, it was clarified that that's not an ideal operation, not an ideal location for an industrial operation like that to be occurring. So a decision was made to look for a more appropriate location to operate, and at the time the only appropriate location was the existing Wedgefield area. There's no really other alternative. So in conjunction with council, that's where we went, well, the council officers, that's where we went. And at the time, again, the only lease that could be secured by UPC to allow a relocation and to apply for approvals and whatnot was a 5-year lease on 12 Yanana Street that suited the what they needed. So in that context, a relocation from an existing site, the capital costs associated with that, and then the risk of then having to further relocate in 2 years' time is a significant financial burden on UPC. And it puts them in a position where if the two-year approval was done and they can't afford to make that work, they don't have anywhere to go for the next 2 years, or wherever it is, until more land is available. Or they have to operate for that period of time under significant financial strain, given the limited time to recoup quite a large capital outlay for the relocation and the development of the new site. We fully understand where council's coming from in terms of the time limited approvals and the need to ensure that there's a proper management of the health risks of Wedgefield residents in association with noxious industries. I think we've all been aware of that matter for quite some time. In relation to this application, we've followed stringent environmental guidelines. There's an environmental report that accompanies this application that imposes a number of strict guidelines about the operation of the facility in Wedgefield. And those strict conditions would be required to be imposed through any license issued by the Environmental Protection Authority for their operation on the site. Big one is obviously all spray paint and glass would be fully enclosed. They'd be extracted and installed to filter all potential emissions and whatnot. So, those conditions being imposed will limit any emissions from the site leaving the site property boundaries. There's actually very limited risk to, I suppose, the amenity of some of the Wedgefield residents in the area. And I would just make the point, in light of those points, we would see, at least as a 5-year approval, it provides a win for all of us. I think it makes their approval align with their 5-year lease. Provides them sufficient time to make the capital, well, to recoup the capital costs of the relocation and that transition a bit easier. It also won't result in any adverse impact on the health and safety of residents, because whether it's 2 years or 5 years, they'll be obliged to meet those strict environmental requirements. And finally, it still keeps council's position on a longer term goal to find an appropriate alternative location for noxious uses in Town Hook, and acknowledging there's some time associated with that matter to go ahead. So that's me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillors will take that into consideration when we consider item 11.1.1.3. So please do stay and see the consideration of that item. Thank you. Any further public statements? Terrific.
Just in response to that, Wedgefield is not the ideal
place for noxious use. Westfield has had ongoing problems for years, you know, pre-80s with noxious use and oil energy. Allowing uses like this for prolonged periods of time basically takes council off the hook, so to speak, with pushing for the proper land to be opened up for noxious use in the area, now I've forgotten its name, but the Dowry Estate. I'm sure that most businesses in, I'm certain that most businesses in Westfield do not support noxious use in their backyard. And I would certainly, yous would agree that you would not like noxious use in your backyard. So I definitely don't agree with allowing a 5-year term on this business.
Thank you, Mr. Blanco, for your statement. Councillors, you'll consider that when we consider the item. Item 11.1.1.3 this evening. You're most welcome to stay and see the consideration of that item. But I can assure you that the foot is well and truly down, full throttle on the accelerator to ensure that we are continuing to pressure government in regards to the Dowry Industrial Estate. Okay, if there are no further public statements, I declare public statement time closed at 6:10. Thank you very much, members of the public. Really appreciate it. Item 5, questions from members without notice. Deputy Mayor?
None, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Gillingham?
Thank you very much, Mayor Howard. Just regarding the presentation of the South Headland Education Precinct,
mm-hmm.
and a question with this is, I know we've been in discussion with after school care,
mm-hmm.
and because it's called a South Headland Education Precinct, can we look into the possibility future area of having after school care in... possibly in this beautiful new building.
Mm, if it goes sure, you will look at that and take it on board accordingly.
I can answer that one if you like.
Yeah, why not?
As chair of the Youth Involvement Council, part of the design of the new precinct is actually including ages 0 to 5 and 5 to 10. That's to broaden our programs and services accordingly. So that will be part of what.
Thank you very much.
No, anything further?
Nothing, thank you.
Councillor Jombeck?
Yes, I'd like to direct 4 questions if I could to the CEO.
Yeah, sure.
These are in relation to your media statement, CEO release, which was 22nd of May 2013, regarding the final audit on the Port Hedland Tourist Bureau. In that media release, you stated independent auditors 2020 Global would provide the final audit on the 2008-2009 financials by the end of June to then be presented to this July Council meeting. 4 questions. 1, what is the status of that audit? 2, why after this unresolved issue having been outstanding for 4 years has it once again been delayed? And 3, who at the Town of Port Hedland will receive the final audit? And finally, when will it be brought to this Council?
See ya.
I'm just noting those questions. So the first question was, when will we receive the audit report?
What is the status?
What is the status of the audit report? My understanding through the chair is that final report should be received within the next week. As I indicated earlier in a answer to a question from the public, there was a requirement from the auditors to obtain some additional information from a third party. It took a little while to get that information. That information was provided to Global 20, and I think the correspondence this week has been that it's either imminent or it'll be received late this week, early next week. So second one was why. I think I've answered that as well. The delay in bringing that forward was actually just obtaining further information so they could complete their audit report. And as much as we would all like to have had this matter resolved much earlier, that's the fact of it. They needed that information. The report will be delivered to myself as CEO, and the matter will be then reported back through to council for the August meeting.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
No, thank you.
Great. Councillor Jacob?
No, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Hunt?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Terrific. Thank you, councillors. Item 6, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before us. Could I please have a show of hands? Let the record 6-0. Thank you. Item 7, confirmation of minutes of the previous meeting. Confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on Wednesday, the 26th of June. Do I have any points of clarification?
So
moved. Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 8, announcements by presiding member without discussion. My report is quite clear there, but I must say that on Friday just been, I was very proud and very happy to be involved with the Pilbara Girl judging. Galari Media have been running Pilbara Girl, which is an offshoot of Kimberley Girl, and that was held at Wanangara Stadium last Friday. And it was terrific to see our young Indigenous women being able to take part in such a positive program. And we now, Headland has proudly got 5 young women that will be going down to Karratha for the finals. So I certainly wish those young women all the very best in the final at Karratha at the end of this week. Item 9, reports by elected members without discussion. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I would just like to thank Council and councillors for the flowers and condolences sent to my family.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Also, second point is I'd also like to say what a great job the Environmental Department is doing in keeping mosquito numbers down. Mm-hmm. It's been a good effort by all concerned, especially Darryl Eastwood and his team. I think they've done a fantastic job. You know, not only during the weekdays but weekends as well to keep the numbers down. So congratulations on my behalf to that department. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Perfect, thank you. Councillor Gillingham?
Nothing thanks except to say also thank you to all the staff for what they do.
Terrific. Councillor Jeanbach?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Jacob?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Councillor Hunt?
Nothing, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, councillors, for your efforts. Item 10. Very interesting and good part of the evening. 10.1, Water Corporation. And I'd like to welcome Robin Gulliver to come and talk to us. Thank you, Robin. I believe you've got a PowerPoint and elected members, executive, you have a copy of the PowerPoint. Yep. Welcome, Robin.
All right. Might be easier down
here. Down here, because you'll need the clicker or assistance with clicking.
Where would you like me to stand?
Right, where you are.
Thank you very much for giving us your time, 10 minutes of your time, to make a presentation on the Waterwise Council's progress that the Town of Port Hedland is making over the last 2 years. In this presentation, firstly, my name's John Gulliver. I'm the Water Efficiency Project Officer for the North West, so I do water conservation. And we've also got David Jones at that there who will be able to answer other questions about water. He's our external stakeholder manager. In this presentation, I'll cover very, very briefly what the program is, then what the Town of Port Hedland has achieved, what we can do in the future, and where to go from here. Okay, very quickly. So the Waterways Council program was made and developed in 2009 by the Water Corporation, Department of Water. The Town of Port Hedland signed the Memorandum of Understanding in 2011. There's no time limit on how long it takes to meet the criteria to become endorsed. There are currently, across the whole state, 22 endorsed councils. Many are working towards endorsement, including Town of Port Hedland. Excuse me. In the northwest, we have the Town of Port Hedland, the Shire of Roebourne, and the Shire of Ashburton, who is endorsed. And just this week, we have the Shire of Horse Creek as well, coming on. Now, there are 4 key program areas for the program. The first thing that a council needs to do is look at its water use across all its sites, and set some targets. They do some waterwise training, do some community engagement, and create some landscaping guidelines. Okay, the first question I guess to cover is why would you sign on to a program like this? What's the reason for being waterwise? There are multiple reasons, and they are beneficial for both customers and the Water Corporation. The first thing, as you see up there, the most important priority is that it reduces your water costs and it reduces your maintenance costs. So these are maintenance costs over the whole lifespan of the developments that you have. The second reason for being Water Wise is that it demonstrates leadership by the council to the community. It supports the ongoing sustainable development of the town within the allocation and the water that we have, that we can provide. It supports other businesses. We have many businesses winning awards, and the last thing is it makes the most of many free water corporation initiatives that we've run. The photos up there are the Hearts Waterwise Demonstration Garden, and they just give you an idea about why, what the point of doing this is. Up the top you see they just had a bare space that was all green, just being watered with sprinklers. Last weekend they did a busy bee. They've created a nice verge there, put down mulch and planted a waterwise plant. So first of all, they're paying a lot for water before. Now they're going to have drippers, they've got mulch, no dust, lots of cost savings. Very good. Okay, now we're moving on to where the council uses its water. This graph shows you from back in 2000 up to 2011. You can see it was quite stable water use for about 5-6 years, just under 300 million litres per year. That's on the Town of Port Hedland customer sites. And then when we had this big peak growth back in 2006, 7, 8, it's gone right up to 600. Now the bottom graph, the bottom table, sorry, gives you 2010, 11 and 12, your total consumption and the cost. So in 2010-11, the council was paying about 1.2 million for its water. In 2011-12, that went up to 1.6. In 2012-13, that's this year, we've had significant savings made by the council. So while the consumption has dropped radically, the amount has stayed the same because the price has gone up basically. So you've saved a whole lot of water by dropping that consumption. Now, where does water use go of that total for the Town of Port Hedland? The graph down the bottom gives you a split up Town of Port Hedland total water consumption. The vast majority of the water that's used by the Town of Port Hedland is on parks and ovals and gardens. Mm-hmm. You can see back in 2010-11, it was up to 300 million litres per year. This last year, it's almost halved. So, outstanding results from the Town of Port Hedland. Mm-hmm. Offices and centres, that's for example this centre, daycare centres, youth centres, that's also dropped. Facilities, the depot, the cemetery, I think, different things like that, that's dropped. Swimming pools slightly dropped, airports dropped. The only one that's increased is your standpipes because of the increased development. So on the whole, fantastic water use there. Now I've used the 97 council sites for that data set. There are a number of other accounts that the Town of Port Hedland has that have no consumption, and that might be an area we can look at in the future because you're paying services charge along those water meters that don't have consumption in. Mm. But I can assist with that. Moving on.
Down.
Yeah. Now I've just another picked three there. Different sites where we've had just really good work that kind of is indicative of what the council have been doing over this last year. The first, there's graphs there as well, so that's why I've given you the printout because it's quite hard to see. The top one is the Port Hedland Airport. Now if you look at the line on the graph and you look down the bottom, that's showing you water flow through the water meter every 15 minutes of the day. Now up until Saturday, November the 3rd, that line never reached zero. So every minute of every day at the airport, there was 10 litres of water going through the meter all the time. So that means there's a leak. After talking to the airport and they did a search around, I think they found a leaking toilet that dropped on Saturday the 3rd, and you can see now the line goes to zero. Mm. 10 litres per minute saved 5 megalitres this year, so a 25% reduction in the amount of water used by the airport, and that has saved $8,000. Yeah. And that's not even taking into account how much more it would have cost if you'd used the same amount of increased prices. Great Works Swimming Pool, another one, just next door. They had two pipes underground which were burst, and that was leaking 20 litres a minute. Unfortunately, there's a break in that graph because our little logger got whippersnippered. In the time that the logger got whippersnippered and removed and replaced, the leak was fixed, and you can see how the line is going down to zero. In that space, because it happened sort of earlier this year, that's also saved 5 million litres of water. Now my favourite site of all, this is my last site I'll cover, is Cemetery Beach. I've got two graphs here. Basically, Cemetery Beach, up the top graph is what it looked like
when we started collecting data for the town 14 months was when the contractors were on site, they were establishing turf on the new site, and when you look at the line, you can see very little time is it actually at zero flow. So most of the time at Cemetery Beach, they were pumping out water for irrigation. Now that was the contractor. It was costing a lot, it was using 100 kilolitres per day. That's roughly about $200, $250 a day for water. Over the next 7 or 8 months, Town Board even took over the site, reprogrammed the controller so it was doing half on one night, half on the other. We also put in a rainwater sensor, and what you can see on the bottom graph now is average daily use 59 kilolitres, so almost half, saving 50,000 litres a day. And every day that it's turned off after it rains, it saves that 59 kilolitres a day. So it saves $100 a day per site by turning it off after it rains. And that one means that even though the size of the site has doubled, you've only used 1 million litres more this year. So an amazing site, that one. Mm-hmm. Now the other thing, very quickly before I finish up, is the soil moisture sensors we put at Cemetery Beach. Now it's a little pole that goes in the ground. It tells us on a web page the water going down in the ground, and it tells us there's enough water there for the turf. The graph down the bottom, there's that big peak. That is way back in June when it rained really, really hard. So you can see how the water went right up. So 60% of a cubic centimetre at Cemetery Beach was water. It very quickly drained away. The rain sensor kicked in. It didn't get irrigated until the 9th of July. But at no point in that time was the turf stressed. So the grass was fine. Now the irrigation got turned on again on the 9th. Comes on every second day. And you can see, even though it's every second day, it's still too much water for what it's needed. So even though you have halved the water use at Cemetery Beach, you can still put less water on. So this is a type of technology the Water Corporation has been very happy to be able to offer Town of Port Hedland, and we hope that you've got other sites who might be interested in putting on as well. Very quickly, other achievements in the whole course is we've done the waterwise training for the parks and garden staff. We've created the verge guidelines. There is a draft local action plan that I have written for the council. I've presented that to the council for your perusal. It can be changed in any way. It's essentially just a more in-depth look at this kind of information and plans for what you might want to do in the future. And then we have ongoing community engagement. Captain Cleanup is here right now in Town Port Hedland, and we've also got things we could do like the Water Day and World Water Week. And of course, you won the Tidy Towns Award. Okay. So what's next after all these achievements? There's only two more things that the council needs to do to become the second Northwest Indoors Waterwise Council. The first thing is to adapt that local action plan for whatever suits the council, and there's no stipulation about what you have to have in it. It's more about what the council sees that they can do to continue saving water and costs. And the second thing is 6 months without any irrigation in Flinders, which I believe we can achieve by November, because you need another month or 5 months, if possible, and then you will be the second indoors council. Now, there's so many opportunities in the future, and I really hope the Water Corporation can continue to help the town of Port Hedland. Our main one is smart meters, of course. Every water meter in the Pilbara now has a smart meter put on it. So those graphs we had there that showed the leak, that's essentially what every single water meter has now. It's merely a case of the time we have to view the graphs and do something about it. We can do things like put in centralised controller systems, so the guys don't have to drive out to South Hedland to change the controller. They can do it from the office. It's not expensive. It saves its money. More reuse. As you know, we're redeveloping, moving the reuse system here, and always community projects that I can support the town with. So that was a very quick snapshot. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Elected members, executive, are there any questions for Robin?
Madam Mayor, what concerns me is the toilets at the airport. If they are leaking, I don't see any signs to say to tell people they're actually to ring up and report leaks. So maybe we should look at having notices added on the toilets. Plus, I think the duty of the cleaners themselves, if they see a water leak, whether it's the airport, the toilets down here, or anywhere they clean, or even the centre here, that they should put down the report sheets. So that we don't actually waste so much water. So
it does.
Wherever council facility is that has water, there should be signs and.
Well, we can provide all those signs.
That'd be great. And then, like I said, the cleaners or whoever
Just so having a reporting system.
Just report it so we can get on top of it without paying thousands of dollars needlessly. Thank you, Mayor.
Yes.
Through the Chair, I'd just like to thank Robin for the work she's been doing with the depot staff around these initiatives and savings. So she's working directly with Grant Foss, and so it's sort of changing people's view on how water is used, and especially around having the actual data showing the monitoring and the sensors. So where people, where you think you have to remember every day, in actual fact you don't. So it is significant, and we're hoping to achieve that status, and hopefully no more infringements. So thank you very much.
Did we actually replace the beheaded system that we chopped off?
What was it, sorry?
That sensor that got
the moisture sensor.
Did we replace it?
Yes, it's still in there. It'll be in there until it possibly gets mowed, so that's why we just
Why don't we put a poll next to it so it doesn't get mowed?
Robin, are you working closely with the government housing in the northwest regarding sprinklers now? Because the system now is where they put recirculation on, you know, newly established homes that they can't.
Yes, we are, but the grow houses, Department of Housing houses, are all split into districts, and it very much depends on the district manager as to how far they want to go to get their controllers reset or their rules about what tenants are allowed to even unlock their controllers.
Yeah.
It's definitely something we're working on, but it takes time.
I'm in a complex there where I would say, give me a key, I'll turn the sprinkler off when it's raining, but they won't allow us. But it's something that I think they need to look at, because they don't do that.
And there needs to be that sort of tipping point where they realise that, that it's a worthwhile thing to do. So we hope to establish that, and with the mining companies as well.
Oh, that's super. Thanks. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Or how about a round of applause for Robin? Thank you very much. And now our next presentation is 10.2 from Keep Australia Beautiful, our Northwest State Representative, Little Committee Member, Lachlan Moyer. Please make him feel welcome. You're in charge, Lachlan. Tell us what you'd like to tell us.
I just want to say you guys are doing a great job on keeping Port Hedland tidy and clean. I've seen some signs around Port Hedland about telling people not to litter.
Yeah.
And you guys are doing a great job, and you should keep it up. You're doing an awesome job at it.
Cool. Do you want to tell us about the Little Committee? What's the Little Committee?
The Little Committee is a group of kids under the age of 15, and our goal is to prevent so much litter happening in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the WA's representative for the Little Committee. The Little Committee stands for Leading Integrated Task Force Tackling Litter Everywhere. And I just like to thank you for letting me come here today.
Yeah. Right. Terrific, terrific. And so how do you keep in touch with the other Little Committee members? How do you
We have been to Canberra and Adelaide a few years ago to catch up with everybody.
Yep.
But now we FaceTime each other over the iPads that we got from being in the Little Committee.
Yep. Terrific, terrific. And in terms of the age group, why do you not let older children be involved?
Well, we choose kids under the age of 15 because when you get 15 and older, that's when you start caring less about the environment and how tidy it should be.
So you've got a little while to go, haven't you, before you get that old?
Yes.
So how old are you?
I am 10.
Terrific. And whereabouts do you live?
I live in Broome.
And have you spoken to the Broome Council yet?
Yes, I have.
Ah. Well, I'm not sure if you've spoken formally to their council, but you'll have to tell them when you do what the great work Port Hedland's doing. So what are you doing this week whilst you're in Port Hedland?
This week I'm in Port Hedland. I'm going to a few schools with Captain Cleanup to spread the message.
Yep.
I've already been to a few schools.
Yes.
I've been to the high school and South Hedland.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been to Port Hedland Primary today.
Great. And are any of the young people telling you things about litter and things we could be doing?
Yeah, the kids at the after school care are doing a Dr. Litter spot.
Ah, good. Yep.
And they're doing a pretty good job at it. They're doing the street down there. And
Dempster Street, yeah. Oh, that's
terrific.
They're
doing a good job.
Oh, good. Now, you've got a clip you wanted to show us how it works. Do you want to explain what it is first or anything?
This clip is about the story of the little comedian, how and why clip is really beautiful for the little comedian.
Terrific. We might dim the lights if that's okay.
We are all here today because we're not going to sit by and watch people that are anymore. We've been put in charge of fixing this problem, and we are going to raise the profile in every corner of Australia and investigate solutions together.
With climate change, drought, and a water crisis, People Australia's beautiful river message was getting lost. People of all ages continued to drop 8 million pieces of rubbish every day. So when we found that there was one group who almost never litter, we decided to put them in charge. Meet the leading integrated task force tackling litter everywhere, or the Little Committee, a board of experts made up of those least likely to litter. To find them, we travelled the country, recruiting one representative from each state and territory. It's their job to keep the issue alive through public speaking, advertising campaigns, and in the media.
Was that? Say anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
Not really. I just want to ask, has anybody got any questions?
Terrific. Any questions?
I have a question, Lachlan. Most of the people, all the people in the room are over 15. What message can you give to the people who litter?
Well, if you have a piece of rubbish in your hands, or you've just had some food or something, make sure you hold on to it and maybe put it in your pocket until you reach a bin.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good idea. Any other questions, councillors?
Born leader.
Well done.
Well, on behalf of the town, thank you very much for coming and inspiring us to continue to do more work about litter and preventing litter, and importantly for coming and talking to all our schools and daycare centres and doing performances with Captain Cleanup. So I know that you'll be busy over the next few days, and I know it is a little tiring, but we really appreciate your efforts and we really urge you to continue doing the great work that you're doing. Thank you very much.
Well done.
Yeah. A little loveless money.
Thank you very much, Mum and Dad, for bringing Lockie. Well, really appreciate it. Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell him Hedlund was first. Thank you very much, guys. All right, reports of officers. Before we get to item 11, just important note, members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on council decisions on items on this evening's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by council has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act 1995. Item 11, reports of officers. Item 11.1.1.1, road names for private roads within the airport. Officers' recommendation on page 16. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points. No points of clarification.
Moved, so Councillor Hunt. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 11.1.1.2, delegated planning, building and environmental health approvals and orders for June 2013. For the officer's recommendation on page 19, do I have any points of clarification?
Yes, just one, Madam Mayor. Concerning that the metal frame spectator grandstand seating at the races on page 38, mm-hmm. 28.
Yes.
Are they going to be utilised or do we just get rid of them? Because it's been here for about 2 or 3 years, this item.
CEO or director?
Mine's saying it's still ongoing in the website. I'll seek some guidance from manager of environment.
Yeah, certainly the health order that's on that grandstand is still valid and hasn't been rectified yet, and as such cannot be used until such time as that health order is rectified.
So through the chair, is something going to be done with it? Because it's going to be an eyesore, if you know what I mean, and it keeps coming up every time. So. When does the final decision be made?
It's an ongoing decision until the item is removed off site, and we'll still be obligated to make sure it complies with relevant statutory requirements.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Jeanbach, you had a point of clarification? No? Moved, Councillor Jeanbach. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 11.1.1.3, proposed noxious dry blasting and coating facility on 2951 in brackets 12, Yanana Street, Wedgefield.
I'd like to declare an interest. The interest is a proximity as a adjoining property owner to the application.
Thank you, Councillor Jeanbach. Okay, councillors, we have an officer's recommendation on page 35. Councillor Jacob?
I do have an alternate recommendation, Madam Mayor, with regards to the officer's recommendation, item 2.
Mm-hmm.
The approval shall be valid for a period of 2 years. The proponents have through the South African Business Association, have presented an argument for a longer period for that approval to be given, and I would like to make a recommendation that approval be in line with the property lease that the proponent has entered into, and I believe that is currently a 5-year lease.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wanting to make a recommendation.
Part 2 is an alternative recommendation that part 2, the approval shall be valid for a period of 5 years.
That's right.
I have a mover in Councillor Jacob, seconder in Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Speaker 4.
Well, Madam Mayor, when a business encompasses capital costs as part of a move, there is quite a substantial investment in this case to move that business to a new site, for which, as a commercial lease, they've had to take on a longer period. You don't get commercial leases for less. The substantial requirement for capital investment to keep that business in town, employing locals, and providing a service that's required to not only the mining industries but other industries within the town, means that it is of value to the community. And a 2-year lease leaves very little time for a business to recoup the capital investment that it has made. And given that there's no place else that's zoned noxious for them to go to, this is a solution. And while I appreciate that we as a council have been working with state lands to release the Badawi site, it is envisaged that that is not going to happen within the next 2 to 4 to possibly 5 years. So therefore you are penalising a business into making capital investments or choosing not to make investment and therefore losing business to this community, which it's really important that businesses be in the community. And one of this size that employs so many is of value to the community. So that's why I'm suggesting that we increase it from 2 to 5 to be in line with the property lease that the proponents have entered into.
Speaker against?
Yes, thank you, Mayor Howland. I have spoken about noxious industries before. I think this all boils down to it's the more reason to push for a specialised noxious area for industry which is named as noxious. And I think this is the time that's paramount now because we're getting so many more items coming to council asking for noxious area. Our towns are growing, our population is growing, there's going to be more industry across the road from Wedgefield at the Precinct 3 area with the other businesses coming into town. And even our highway is now being redirected at the back of Wedgefield, which is going to be even closer to these noxious areas. So I just think that now's the time to push for that land through the governments. Thank you.
Speaker 4.
Yes, I agree. Now is the time to push for the land. We have currently been pushing for the land, and even if they were to agree tomorrow, it still might be 5 years before it is online for this business to set themselves up. We cannot stifle any entrepreneurial ventures for the sake of lack of land. We employ an economic development officer in the council to try and encourage more businesses, and it needs to go ahead. It needs to have the 5 years to make it economically viable.
Speaker against? Any other speakers for? Right of reply?
I think, Madam Mayor, just I appreciate Councillor Gillingham's comments, and we as a council are united in ensuring that we try, as you stated previously, to do our utmost to ensure that Badawi does come on and as speedy as possible. But like Councillor Hunt has said, the likelihood of even that happening in a timely matter to suit businesses' requirements in current day situations is unlikely to be in line with what our hopes are, our aspirations are. I think businesses need surety in the form that if we're going to be asking businesses to invest in this community, in this town in particular, they need surety that there is enough returns for them to justify the capital investments. And without a two-year lease just doesn't provide a business like this surety, wouldn't provide most businesses surety. So therefore, I'm making that alternate recommendation.
Terrific. I'll put it to a vote. Those in favour, a show of hands, please. Those against, a show of hands, please. Let the record 5-0. The motion is carried. 4-1. Sorry. Bad calculating day. 4-1. Sorry. The motion is still carried. Can someone please?
Sorry, you want any reason for that? Do you need a reason?
Do I need a reason here?
Modifications.
Councillor Jean-Bac, as you resume the seat at the table, letting you know the officer's recommendation had an amendment or modification to part 2. The approval shall be valid for a period of 5 years. That was passed 4-1. The motion was carried.
Thank you.
Okay, item 11.1.1.4, proposed 14 multiple dwellings on lot 518 in brackets 53 Moore Street, Port Hedland, with the officer's recommendation on page 62. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, Madam Mayor.
Move, Councillor Jacobs. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, we are now on page 97. Item 11.1.1.5, proposed industry noxious concrete batching plant facility lot 1032 in bracket 16 Marina Street, with the officer's recommendation on page 103. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, so moved.
Just, I might have a point of clarification. Is this the one where there were two uses on the one block? And there was a discrepancy in the time that one had. This is that one? Yes.
Oh, it is. Yes. Oh, okay, right here. Oh.
So hold up, everyone. So in terms of the other block has approval for 3 years, doesn't it? Or
that's what we're going to.
Is that correct, Sir?
Approval. Okay. We were going to realign the dates.
Yeah. So can this be an approval that covers both those sites? No?
No.
So you just need to make this one equal to the other one.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that point of clarification. Councillor Jacob?
That's fine. So are we? So it'll be aligned? The dates will be aligned? So this one...
The other has 3 years.
Exactly what the dates are, but this... the recommendation is for an additional 2 years.
See, that's where we have the question. The other one had a three. So that means that you're going to have two structures on the same site with different dates of review.
Councillor Jacob, are you moving an amendment to part two to have it valid for 3 years?
Yes, or the whole site.
Yep.
I don't think we can do the whole site.
Sorry,
can we, Director?
Just for this one.
We can for this?
No, it's just for the application. Yep. The application for this parcel of land.
Yeah.
So perhaps, through you, Madam Chair, the expiry of the other approval is January 2014. I think was referred.
That's
earlier.
That's the one.
So perhaps, in terms of a formal application from the applicant, we need to advise them to come back and seek an extension of that application to marry in with this.
Yes.
So does that need to be an advice note?
It
would
be advice note, but the approval is for 2 years and nothing stops them from coming back and asking for an extension, which has actually occurred in the past. So that's still open to review. So I think if you leave the approval the way it is, they can still come back and apply for an extension at all.
2 years is quite short period of time.
The other one got the previous license, sorry, through you, Madam Mayor, the previous license was granted for 3 years. That's the other discrepancy.
They got it in 2011.
Yeah, so that's the issue. I'd probably prefer to leave it as 2 years and we can capture the dates of the leasing, whatever else, through an extension of time on either of those approvals.
Will you write that as an advice note then? Could you give us some words for a part nine?
Part nine, advise the applicant any extension of time to the approval needs to be sought through the manager of planning services.
And that will be given.
That's not very. Could we be a bit more helpful?
Sorry.
It's hard to actually line up for the lease, so I don't actually have an exact date of that lease, and that's why I'm sort of a little bit adamant to actually lock it into a date.
Could I maybe, can we have something like the manager of planning services to explain options for leasing, future leasing with the proponent, something like that, so then they're actually talk through what their options are?
Sorry, three minutes. Right. It's nothing to do with the lease.
Yeah, it's to do with the period.
This is approval for the use.
Yeah.
So we've two issues. One is the current application in front of you, and that's an extension of the use. And their other use, which has already been approved by council, expires in January 2014. So perhaps if we can leave it as an administrative task that we write to the current owners and ask them if I would like to seek an extension of their 2014 approval through to the 2 years where this one will expire.
Yep.
And we can just do that as
To be?
It doesn't. We can just take that as an administrative task.
Okay.
So is that recorded somewhere? Someone will take it? Yep. All right. Okay, so I have an officer's recommendation on page 103. Do I have any further points of clarification?
No points of clarification, Madam Mayor.
Move Councillor Jacobs, seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Speaker 4.
Madam Mayor, the applicant currently has an approval already in place. This application is for an expansion of the site, and basically the site has already been utilised for the concrete batching already. So in essence, this site is a mobile plant. It is able to be removed should land become available sooner or other noxious area land, zoned land be available. So it's not introducing a new industry, it's actually just an expansion of what's currently there, and it is a mobile plant.
Speaker against.
Thank you. Look, Mayor and Councillors, and through the Chair, I'm not against industries from getting further ahead themselves. I've been a small business person myself. But the onus is on us, the Town of Port Hedland, to look at further afield for these noxious industries to expand. I mean, the letter from Luke and Karen O'Malley are just saying that it's right in their back door, it's right in their back garden. So I'm not against these people going ahead, but we've got to really try and find this land. And it's already been earmarked for the industry at the Budari area. It's already ready to go. So we really now have to push ahead for these people. So even if they are established where they are now, that they're sometime going to be able to move somewhere else.
Yep, Speaker 4.
It's all been said. Councillor Jacobs said it, and Councillor Gillingham agrees that we don't want to stifle business, and I do agree with you once again, Councillor Gillingham, as Councillor Jacobs said, we need to continue to assist the business but also push to get the Dairy Industrial Estate going ASAP.
Speaker against? Any speakers for? Right of reply.
It's all been said before, Madam Mayor.
Okay, I'll put it to a vote. Those in favour, a show of hands, please. Those against, a show of hands, please. Let the record be 5-1. Motion is carried. Okay. Item 11.1.1.6, appointment of working group members for the Town of Port Hedland Local Housing Strategy. The officer's recommendation on page 118. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification.
Maybe. Move Councillor Jacobs, seconded Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, item 11.1.2.1, consideration of recommendations, Good Street Coastal Geomorphological Study, with the officer's recommendation on page 131. Do I have any points of clarification? Move Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0.
Excellent pronunciation.
Other words have caught me out, but I was ready this time. Item 11.1.2.2, temporarily disband Community Safety and Crime Prevention Committee, with the officer's recommendation on page 139. Councillor Jacob?
Yes, I have an alternate recommendation, an addition to the officer's recommendation. Item 3, an addition to keep the members as an interested person's parties list, and if in the future other developments or future group is reformed, they be contacted to show interest as the first.
Move Councillor Jacobs, seconded Councillor Jeanbach. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0.
Can we just catch up on those moves?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, we're getting ready for page 140, item 11.2.1.1, installation of lighting to the South Hedland Aquatic Centre. Everyone's happy?
Yep.
Okay, terrific. So there is an officer's recommendation on page 146. Now, councillors have copies of the confidential summary of prices submitted. Are there any points of clarification?
So maybe.
So in moving that, do you want me to read the figures?
Yes, I'll put the figure in there.
Okay, so part one, award HVAC and Power Solutions Australia, the South Hedland Aquatic Centre lighting poles and footing installation as per their RFQ submission of, now is that $272,804.18 excluding GST?
So three components. So,
do you want me to read all three prices? Oh, yeah.
Well, there's the three prices there, so we've got them in the right order.
Yep, so that's so first one.
Lighting poles and footings
for part one.
272,804.18.
That's what I said. Terrific. Yep. Okay. Part two is award HVAC Power Solutions Australia, the South Hedland Aquatic Centre installation of luminaries to shade structures as per their RFQ submission. That being $99,240.
Yes.
No, and that's excluding GST. And part three, award HVAC and Power Solutions Australia, the South Hedland Aquatic Centre installation of lighting and PA cabling, commissioning as per their RFQ submission, which is $127,493.91, excluding GST. That's what you're moving,
yes.
Councillor Jacob. Move, Councillor Jacob. Seconded, Councillor Jeanbach. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Thank you. Item 11.2.1.2, award of tender 13-17, design, supply, installation of a stage structure at the South Hedland Aquatic Centre with the officer's recommendation on page 151. As per the previous item, councillors have a confidential price schedules for tender 13-17, design, supply, installation of shade structure at South Hedland Aquatic Centre. I have an officer's recommendation there. Do I have any points of clarification?
No.
You move. So you move that council award tender 13-17, design, supply, installation of a shade structure at the South Hedland Aquatic Centre to West Coast Shade Pty Limited. And that's for a total of $137,214.
Four consistency.
I'm not sure if it's excluding GST or or do you want the first one?
We'll
the
take
124.
The excluding GST, the 124,740.
Okay. $124,740 excluding GST. Thank you, everyone. So that mover is what you move. Move, Councillor Jeanbach. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 11.2.2.1, request to dispose of a portion of the Port Hedland International Airport BP Australia for self-serve card swipe facility with the officer's recommendation on page 157. Do I have any points of clarification? Move, Councillor Jeanbach. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 11.2.2.2, request to dispose of lot 2529, Great Northern Highway, Port Hedland, by way of lease to Hedland Kart Club, with the officer's recommendation commencing on page 166. Do I have any points of clarification?
No,
move, Councillor Jacob. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 11.3.1.1, report on Disability Access and Inclusion Plan 0809, with the officer's recommendation on page 171. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification.
Move, Councillor Jacobs. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Okay, next item. Item 11.4.1.1, waiver of alternative arrangement fees and interest charges for home hardware sites.
Madam Mayor, I have a declaring a financial interest on that item.
Great. I am also declaring a financial interest as my partner from time to time casually works at home hardware, so I'll declare that financial interest as well.
Do you move for someone to chair this part of the meeting?
Deputy Mayor, you just move straight into the chair.
Do you Councillor's mind if just stay here?
No.
So one, thank
two,
you.
Three, four. So we actually don't have a quorum.
I was going to just say
so based on that, don't even move. So this item will now need to be postponed and considered at a future council meeting when we have greater numbers to be able to have a quorum to discuss it.
CEO, is there a possibility we can do it at the next special council meeting? That's next Wednesday or Thursday, I think. Could we add this item into that meeting?
I can check that, but I believe that the advertising for that particular special council meeting has already occurred, and we're required under the Act to list the specific items that are to be considered. So unless there's another special council meeting, which we obviously are trying to avoid due to the high cost of running those, it'll go to the ordinary council meeting in August.
Okay. Thank you.
So I guess for clarification for the elected members, irrespective of the figures that are contained within there, those figures may change because of interest incurred between now and then. So the report will be adjusted to reflect those figures in August.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, Councillor Jacobs, as you resume your seats, due to lack of councillors, a quorum, that the matter will be deferred at a later date for consideration.
Thank you. Okay, item 11.4.1.2, interim financial reports to council for year ended 30th of June 2013 with the officer's recommendation on page 196. Move, Councillor Jeanbach. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 11.6.1.1, periodic review of local laws for the officer's recommendation on page 202 and 203.
So moved.
Move, Councillor Hunt. Yep. Seconded, Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 11.6.1.2, salaries and allowances tribunal determination and elected member fees, allowances and reimbursements for 13-14.
Madam Mayor.
Officer's recommendation on page 212.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to put an alternative recommendation.
Okay.
So, sorry, if I can, just before you do that, Councillor, just for the benefit of the gallery, probably useful to explain that elected members do not need to declare an interest under the terms of the Local Government Act in setting fees and charges.
Madam Mayor, the alternative recommendation is that Mayor and councillors be paid on the highest level of payments determined by the Salaries Allowance Tribunal, and that the payments be made on a quarterly basis as per previous payments.
Okay, I have a mover in Councillor De Cash. Do I have a seconder? Okay, the motion lapses for want of a seconder. I have an officer's recommendation on page 212. Do I have any points of clarification?
No points of clarification, Madam Mayor.
Move, Councillor Jacobs. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Speaker 4.
I guess with regards to the setting, the SAT determination on the councillor fees and sitting fees, bearing in mind that there is a deficit that we're carrying through, I think this would have a minimal impact to implement the SAT determination. I think what the officers have recommended is a fair review of the fees, and also will encourage elected members to participate, more encouragement in participating at the various committees and briefings and things like that. I believe that the fee set is reviewable. So as a commencement, based on the SAT determination, I believe that this is a fair reflection of those fees and fees for councillors and elected members.
Speaker against.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, at the Salaries and Allowance Tribunal preamble, it states quite clearly, indeed, council members in West Australia were found to be the lowest paid of any Australian states. My objection is, I believe that the elected mayor and councillors should receive the maximum amount of payment that was decided by the Salaries and Allowance Tribunal. At last, a government-appointed body has determined that West Australian councillors elected by its people have been paid very poorly for the work that they do in working for their community. It is about time that councillors were paid appropriately. Yes, Madam Mayor, I say the word work because that's what I believe elected councillors do for the community. They are the people's employees. We are elected and sworn in as councillors to provide fair and honest decisions for the betterment of the town and its people. The Tribunal has determined maximum amounts that councillors should receive. As this is an election year for councillors, I believe that we must vote for the maximum amount of payment to attract what hopefully would be the best candidates to be elected by the people and be their working councillors. It is not for us today to vote on a reduction of payment for the leaders of tomorrow. Madam Mayor, may I remind the councillors that 4 years ago, when you were elected mayor by the people, the absolute disdain that some of the councillors who incidentally voted for a popular elected mayor had against yourself and how they wanted you to be paid in what I call apprentice wages, and how I and a room full of electors yelled, banged and screamed, foul and shamed on those who dared try to make your mayor payments lesser than the previous mayors were paid and the maximum amount of payment for their roles, if they wanted it. Again, the Tribunal has determined that the previous payments were inadequate. Another aspect is the non-payment of meetings due to annual leave or apologies. How un-Australian it is that every worker's right to take leave no matter what kind the situation occurs to do so without penalties, i.e. Councillor Carter being away today due to sickness. Councillors, I once again say to you, please consider voting for the maximum allowance payment and let those councillors elected by the people choose for themselves on a lesser amount than those allowable if they wish to do so. Just as we vote to pay the maximum amount for council staff, the elected councillors who work, serve and make the best decisions for the town of Port Ellen should also receive the maximum allowance and let them decide if they accept it or not. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Speaker 4.
Yes, I'll speak for it. The amount that is stated here in this document are only a small amount less than the maximum amount anyhow, Councillor De Cash. Not a great deal, and given our current situation with our finances here, we all have to do our best to try and balance the budget and make it as neat and tidy as we possibly can, and this is our way of doing it. The other thing you stated was about to attract the best possible candidates for our upcoming election, the increased amount, the maximum amount, might be a bit of an attraction. I don't believe, with the amount of money that they're earning out in the outside community, that council sitting fees would do that. It has to come from the heart. The other thing is, as Councillor Jacob mentioned, that if you get paid for attending the meetings, then it is more incentive to actually attend. Having said that, you know, we've all been here since 11:30 this morning, but we only get paid from when the Mayor opened the meeting at 5:30. But, you know, I think the officer's recommendation is certainly the way to go to do the right thing.
Okay, speaker against? Any other speaker for? Right of reply?
Madam Mayor, I certainly don't discount Councillor De Cash's statements earlier. Being an elected member does come with a workload that's quite substantial, and it is certainly a valid point. However, when the SAT determination did come down, there was informal discussions amongst council and administration staff in regards to the fees for councillors to be set. And I think the majority of elected members expressed their opinions that they would be quite satisfied with the officers, with what has evolved as the officers' recommendation. It is something that can be reviewed annually, and given the town's current situation, I believe that it would be a little bit lax of elected members to take full advantage of the SAT determination. Albeit it might be warranted, and it might be, as Councillor De Cash says, it probably is very plausible for those payments to be made, but I think in light of the current situation at the town, I think it would be not good faith to take advantage of that and be satisfied with the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. So I'll put it to a vote. Those in favour, a show of hands, please. Those against, please, a show of hands, please. Let the vote record 5-1. It requires an absolute majority, and the 5 has secured an absolute majority, so the motion is carried, 5-1. Thank you. Item 12, late items as permitted by presiding member/council, 12.1, assessment of tender 13-21, roof replacements of the courthouse gallery. So on that, in that report on page 6, we have an officer's recommendation there. Do I have any points of clarification?
No, please, no, no.
Okay, just bear with me. Now, in moving that, I might have misplaced. Oh, no, there it is. I'm too organised. So, in part 2, that means the insertion or the words award tender 13-21, roof replacement, courthouse gallery to Safeway Building and Renovations Pty. That's proponent 4. For the lump sum of, and then it's got plus GST there, based on the alternative submission. So is that
$92,400, Madam Mayor?
Yes, but that is exclusive, yep, so yep.
We'll just change that to say excluding GST rather than plus GST.
Right, excluding GST. So you're happy still with that, Councillor
yes.
Jacob? Seconded Councillor Hunt. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Thank you. Okay, item 13, reports of committees, 13.1.1, airport committee meeting minutes, 3rd of July 2013. Can just do them separately, so I've got an officer's recommendation 1 there. Any points of clarification? Moved, Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Officer's recommendation 2. Moved, Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Officer's recommendation 3. Moved, Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Officer's recommendation 4 actually requires an absolute majority, so just highlighting that there. Moved, Councillor Jeanbach, seconded Councillor Jacob. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Item 14, motions of which previous notice have been given, there are nil. Item 15, confidential items. 15.1, private treaty lot 436, OSCO modular confidential item. Members of the public, we have a confidential item to consider. You're most welcome to remain and stay in the foyer during the deliberations, and then we'll invite you back in. Can I have a mover and seconder to go in confidence? Move, Councillor De Cash, seconded Councillor Jeanbach. Do I have any against? Motion carried 6-0. Invite the public in. Move, Councillor De Cash, seconded Councillor Jacob. All in favour? Pass 6-0. members of the public, as you resume your seats, and don't, sorry, manager, we might just leave that door open, just hinge it up, sorry. Thank you. As you resume your seat, everyone, welcome back. The officer's recommendation was that Council 1 approve the preparation and advertisement of a business plan in accordance with Section 3.58 and 3.59 of the Local Government Act 1995, outlining the proposed lease by a private treaty with Ausco Modular for 4.5 hectare portion of the western section of Lot 36 within the Kingsford Business Park for $12 a square metre annually, for a grand total of $540,000 excluding GST, for a period of 10 years with two possible extensions of 5 years. Annual CPI reviews during the lease term and extended period, with a voluntary development contribution within the development approval, stipulating that upon completion of the development, a voluntary contribution of $3.25 for each occupied room per night above a threshold of 75% of total rooms, excluding site management personnel, shall be payable on an annual basis. This voluntary contribution shall be utilised by Council towards community benefit programs identified in consultation between the two parties and recognised by Council through public acknowledgements, naming rights or similar. And Part 2. Request the Town of Port Hedland officers report back to Council on the public submissions received as a result of the business plan, and then recommend a course of action in relation to the proposed private treaty between the Town of Port Hedland and Ausco Modular. That officer's recommendation was passed 6-0. Okay, going back. Okay, item 16, applications for leave of absence. Deputy Mayor.
No.
Councillor Gillingham. No. Councillor Jeanbach. No, Councillor Jacob.
I will be away for the week of the 20th of August through to the 24th.
Right, thank you. Councillor Hunt.
Yes, I'd like to apply for leave from the 10th to the 17th of August.
Terrific. Can I have a mover and seconder for those leave?
Salute.
Move Councillor De Cash, seconded Councillor Gillingham. All in favour? 6-0. Okay, item 17, closure. Before I do officially close the meeting, just letting the public know that there will be a special council meeting on Wednesday the 31st of July, starting at 5:30 p.m. That notice has started to be advertised, and the four items to be considered is part of that advertisement. If you need that exact detail, please let us know and we'll get that for you now. With that announced, there is no further ordinary meetings of council until Wednesday the 28th of August. That will also commence at 5:30 p.m. If there's no further business, I'd like to thank all the officers and the councillors and the staff for putting together tonight. No further business. It's 7:24. The meeting is now closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam.
And councillors, can I please have all those confidential pieces of paper back? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The gift that keeps giving.
I found that other one. I knew you had it there because I saw it sitting there blank like that. I was just putting my hand as we move something.
There we are.
It was at the start.
So no other budget questions, queries, things for Natalie?
It's
now cut off.
That's it.
Done.
Arnold didn't come back.
I asked Arnold, he didn't have anything else when he rang me. So that's all.
Oh, good. Well done.
Somebody pick it up?
He doesn't want to hold it up, that's what he said.
Oh, did you, is it with it? Is it maybe with the confidential items?
Oh, it might be.
Yeah. Ask governance when her leave was. Yeah, I don't know.
There it is.
I don't think she is back.
You put it up here. Oh, okay. Put the confidential item up.
She's back on the 15th of August.
What's
the
15th of August?
Penny back.
Oh.
There you go, Georgia. Put it in your diary. 15th of August.
Meeting's finished. Do you want to say anything?
Georgia, I'm sorry. I do agree with you.